This is Pat Tomlinson in Illinois. I'm talking with Delk Crozier, Maximum Farming Implementation Specialist with Ag Spectrum, who's at his farm in Ohio where he's been in the field.
We can all get caught up in the focus of let's just get this done and maybe cut some corners, but we know the process of planter modifications is expensive and stressful, so it really makes sense to keep reminding the grower of what it is we want to accomplish with all this and why it's important so he doesn't become overwhelmed and start to wonder if it's all worth it or not.
We have the opportunity with the planters nowadays to do a lot more than we've ever been able to, and with so much more ease. I mean, the biggest thing that the industry's done for us is built heavy frames, built heavy rugged units, built the right kind of fertilizer colders so we can do it in no-till, allow us to pull wagons, allow us to put big tanks on the planter. I mean, and then also manage the whole other side of this is managing down pressure, whether you do it with air or hydraulic. Obviously, the air come around first, and we thought that was the greatest thing. And then when we went to hydraulics, we realized that was really the next greatest thing. And so managing the downforce on those row units is critical. Even if you are having extra weight on the planter with tanks, et cetera, and then that allows us to really do more with the planter than we've ever done before in history of American ag, and do it well.
What do you think are some of the special concerns we should have as we approach the process this year?
We have an amazing infrastructure of people who have built equipment, people who have built pump systems, people who have built Air Force or hydraulic downforce systems. I mean, we've got all this stuff at our fingertips, and we've been able to build and put all this stuff together just point and click and with a lot of ease. My concern is that might come somewhat to a halt this year. You might have guys that wherever they're at in the process of changing and doing something more with their planter might not be able to physically get it done with the ease of operation that they wanted to get it done with, you know, just kind of due to supply demand or, you know, the supply chain and not have it or not get it.
So what might be a typical situation a grower would be starting from?
A lot of guys have somewhat of a managed downforce system, whether it's air on their planter or Precision's air side, or a lot of them, you know, usually typically have something in the pneumatic side. They might not all have the hydraulic side because they just haven't, you know, made the plunge and bit the bullet and spent the money. You know, you can put a good in-furrow product on, and like ours, and establish a great root system and get the corn out of the ground, you know, quicker and easier and healthier, and it'll look better. But if you're not careful, if you haven't met that nitrate demand side, you know, it becomes, you might be somewhat disappointed. And so it's really a hard question to answer. I like to teach guys and help them understand that here's why we're asking you what to do, and this is why it's so important, and then let them make that decision, you know. Some guys are too late in the season to even get that accomplished, you know, because maybe they hadn't heard about us in time or whatever, and I understand that. And so obviously the most likely place is a lot of guys do have in-furrow on their planter already, so sometimes you're just asking them to add one more component, which is the nitrogen beside the row. And then we put some other things in there, thiosol or liquid potassium, to start to manage things differently there so that maybe you don't have to put so much on somewhere else. And so there's some real efficiencies to be gained putting it in a band in the soil into moisture over a broadcast method. And so usually it's a 3-to-1 ratio of that. So there's a lot of other efficiencies we can look at, you know. It's almost a case-by-case situation of what the guy can handle, what he wants to do, what he can afford, and what he can get this year to get it accomplished. Yeah.
Can you talk a little about the in-furrow systems, Delk?
You know, nowadays we've got everything at our fingertips technology-wise, so it's fun to go first class, right? That is great. It's the best way. It's the most efficient way. It's the way to use the least amount of product and save dollars on, you know, point rows and on angled ends and all kinds of things. So it's definitely justified in going first class. I guess my biggest concern was, if we get to a point in this industry in the next year or so where we can't go first class because it's just not there, my concern for the grower was, is we started out back in the late 70s, early 80s, figuring out how to do this differently with what we had available to us back then. And back then it was old squeeze tubes pumps and piston pumps and little electric pumps that we put on and put a 100-gallon tank on the tongue, and we built an orifice system and a red ball, and away we went. They served us well for years, you know, and even the electric side of the pump system now, industry is incredible. I mean, they've got some electric pump systems out there that are fully computerized and wonderful. That was my biggest concern, is that we don't let the supply chain or lack of supply chain stop us from accomplishing what's still right to do for the corn plant.
If access to equipment isn't an issue, what does first class look like?
A computerized pumping system, whether it's Precision or SureStar, there's all kinds of pump systems out there. Can't think of the one out in western Nebraska now. But, I mean, there's those that you can hook right into your monitor systems. Electric shutoffs on every row now. I mean, you can build them that way, or you can drop back from that if you can't get that and do it a different way that still gets the job done. And, you know, hopefully we don't have a concern there. Hopefully this thing goes away and everybody's able to get what they want. But if you can't get an electronic system with Surefire system or something similar through Precision or other companies out there, there's more than that. If you can't get something like that with row shut off and everything, there are other ways to do it.
Let's talk a little about nitrogen options for placement with the planter.
The biggest thing there is, obviously, each grower knows whether they're conventional or no-till or a form of both, you know, or whether they've got manure, whether they have to till some. So, you know, the old tried and true standard was, you know, John Deere was the first one to come out with a single disc fertilizer opener that actually went in the ground and no-till, and you couldn't really tear it up. And you could get it far enough away from the row that you could get enough product through it that it would not hurt the plant. And then we've come a long way since then. I mean, Kinze came out with one after that wasn't quite as good, but it did work. We've evolved into Precision's or Conceal N, which took them a little while to get that under control, but I think they've got a pretty good system with the Conceal N now. You still hear a few complaints here and there, but it's pretty hard to build something that works, you know, consistently all the time in every environment. In conventional till, it's pretty much flawless. In no-till, they've come out with a little different knife, a little heavier knife, especially if you have some rocks. And you have the ability to, you know, get it still in the ground efficiently. The nice thing about Conceal-N is, you know, 3.5 inches on each side of the row, so you can split that product. And as you go around curves and tear different things, you know, it doesn't move from the row. And as you're doing more curves and terraces and stuff with the colder system, you have to be more careful with that, because as you turn, that knife can move and get closer to the row. There's pros and cons in everything we do, but just have to know the limiting factors of everything.
Has the success of Conceal N from Precision created an opportunity to economize with used John Deere coulters that may be available when they're being replaced with Conceal units?
John Deere coulters have gotten very cheap, almost to the point of people can't really get a price out of them in certain areas. So yes, to your question, most definitely. And it's definitely something I would consider and go back to and look at, because they're pretty much bulletproof, and you can mount them on different planters and make them work. And so I would definitely look at that as an option.
We always focus on planters, and there's good reason for that, but there's also other areas to consider carefully, like tendering equipment and storage capability. What should we be thinking about there?
Yeah, all of it probably. I tell every grower, and I strongly feel like every grower, no matter who he is, should have his own on-farm storage, just so he can buy in semi-quantities it's just money in the bank every year. It's money in your pocket. It takes a very short amount of time to pay for that infrastructure. The second part of that is the pit stop mentality with good, at least safe nursing, you know, tendering equipment to get that done efficiently. And that doesn't have to be expensive. It can be cheaper for a while till you grow into what you really want. It took me a while to get nicer trailers and units like I wanted. So that can look a lot of different ways. But I think those are two very important things that puts a farmer, any farmer on our system or not, just more in control of his buying power, buying capacity, and the ability to deliver and not rely on a different industry we're living in on whether you can even get the product at the time that you need it. And yep. That's just a stress that can be avoided as far as I'm concerned.
Anything else you want to make sure and add before we do?
Well, as always, I'm available. Anybody that wants to do it, wants to set it all up, only has a budget with so much to work with, I'd be happy to talk to them, help them out in any way I could. I can bring back all the olden days of how we did things. It's one of those things you don't really want to have to go backwards, but you don't really go backwards. You still get the job accomplished. And I think the main thing is just to stay focused on what are we really doing for the corn plant out there. And we're all mindful of what we're spending. We're spending a lot of dollars, and we all have to watch our budgets. And so, but we still have to do what's right for the corn plant and what's right for the crop, whatever it is. And so if we stay focused on that, there's always a way to get the job done.
I know you're always available to take calls and talk with associates and possibly even growers to help sort out options and concerns. And if needed, I bet you could even make a visit to help see what they've got to work with.
Absolutely. I'm always available and happy to do that. I get to do that. It's a real opportunity for me. I enjoy doing that. Meet a lot of great people. And most of the people that I've challenged and pushed on a little bit, you know, they all very appreciative of that later. I'm very convicted of the things I do, and I'm not afraid to encourage someone to do it for the right reason.
Okay, well, listen, thanks again, Delk. I really appreciate it, and have a safe harvest.